In terms of, over time, things have continued to evolve quite a bit in changing the diversity field. If you were to summarize what you've noticed in terms of the change that you've seen in the diversity space over the last couple of years, what is that one? And two, probably more importantly, what change would you like to see happening in the next 3 to 5 years? And with the context of driving more successful innovation, right?
Yeah, so diversity as it relates to innovation, let's call it diversity 1.0. It was a concept. It's a cognitive, logical concept, right? That if you have more variety among the people coming up with ideas, you're bound to have more ideas and different kinds of ideas. But next generation diversity is about operationalizing that, making it happen. And throughout our time together, I'm giving it examples how you can have the mix, but it may not be working very well. So that is one key thing that has changed, is a consciousness that the inclusion is not about an attitude only, an attitude of openness, but it's about an ability, a capability, a competence to be able to then, in a knowledgeable, competent, skillful way, leverage the mix around me to lead to the innovation that we need to do. And the examples I gave you require a significant amount of skill to get the most out of that diversity to come up with these really innovative thoughts. So that's one thing that has changed. The other is related to that, but going deeper, is that what are some of the things that are some of those skills? And it's about cross-cultural agility. Right, which is about the cross-cultural agility has three elements to it, and so there's some changes in diversity with these three elements I'm going to talk about. The three elements are: it's all about me, it's all about them, it's all about us. And diversity 1.0 is focused on the second one. It's all about them. Tell me all about them, and I want to learn about them, and I'll be open to them, and that's all fine. But we tend to skip number one, which is all about me, and the me part is: who am I? What do I believe? Why do I believe it? Where does this belief come from? Because that self-knowledge and that self-awareness is going to then help me not only tell my own diversity story, because who is diverse here? Everyone is diverse. Now, how our diversities manifest in society and whether it offers us advantages or disadvantages, there's going to be differences. But who is diverse? Everyone's diverse. But I cannot engage inclusively with others who are different and want to learn all about them if I myself have not gone through a self-exploratory journey about who I am and what has shaped me, what I prefer, what do I like, what I don't like, what I need, what I desire. Once I have that self-awareness, then I can compare and contrast with those who are different and see where we do have commonality despite our differences, and where we have differences, despite our commonalities. And then the all about us is then, what are we going to do together? And in today's conversation, one of the things we're going to do together is innovate to actually create a better world, better products, better services, better relationships, right? And so I would say that this more comprehensive view of diversity and inclusion as it relates to innovation is about kind of completing the story, moving it from concept, oh, diversity should lead to greater innovation, to we now need to have the skills to make that happen. So that's one change. The other change is really being able to have a so what. Okay, so my company's more diverse. I'm happy. We are the rainbow, right, of the world, and we feel good about that. And that's appropriate. That's great. But from a business perspective or a mission perspective, if we're talking not for profits, did that make your mission that much more viable? Did it increase your ability to meet your mission? From a commercial perspective, did it allow you to sell more products and services to a greater number of people in a growing diverse world? And so being able to look at diversity completely, and that the so what is, I brought diversity in the door, but now I activate the diversity, right? So that I can not only have a better guest experience for women or other guests from other backgrounds, or I can have tractors that are attractive and safe and meet other needs, but also in some industries, it can actually save lives. So, quick story, the story of the hospital built for white people inadvertently in the United States, right? Here's the studies. Waiting room outside emergency, right? The OR, the emergency room. If it is a white person, and let's call it the operating room better. That's a better example. Operating room. How many people in the waiting room if it's a European American? The studies show 1 to 2 people. If it's an African American in the operating room, in the waiting room, it's 5 to 7.
Right.
And if it's a Latino, like myself and like yourself, it's over a dozen. And they're having a party and they're feeding everybody. So the designers of the hospitals, the multi-billion dollar hospitals, built the hospitals with the assumption of 1 to 2 people per person in the operating room. And these waiting rooms are way too small that as the demographics of the city and the community around them change, these waiting rooms are completely inadequate. So what has changed about diversity and inclusion? We're moving it not beyond, but we're adding to right thing to do, great, best talent, great, but then also to the so what. And the so what is safer tractors, more comfortable hotel rooms to meet our needs, and saving lives. That's just 3 of a myriad of examples of the power of diversity and inclusion.
Now, that's beautiful. And in terms of what you love to see changing more of, I think you were heading into this purpose space around the so what. You know, are we changing lives? What would you like to see going forward in terms of moving into? And you talked about, you know, we've been in this space where, you know, it was that cognitive concept to now it's like, how do we actually activate it? You talked about the 3 layers of saying it's not just about them, it's also about me and that self-awareness. So we can move into the us where we can work together. So what would you love to see in the next 3 to 5 years in this space to really start, continue to shift the dial?
Yeah, so clearly more of what I just talked about, right? Replicated a myriad fold, right? So that, and then we can, as your listeners see this, they can think about their industry and retail, you know, and, you know, technology in industrial, right, in tourism, et cetera, and, you know, there's just a myriad possible. I'd like to see that fully fleshed out. But in terms of what I would really like to see that we haven't really touched on is to carry this outside the corporate walls and outside the consumer walls into our societies. Because as we know around the world, we are being rent by polarization based on people reacting negatively to our differences. And no matter where we look in the world, these divisions are real and disturbing and leading to a polarization that is debilitating, at times violent, and at times just simply, you know, one that of displacement, not only for the traditionally marginalized groups, but for everybody, because a polarized society is a tense society. So if we can get beyond sort of the political rhetoric that's out there and the simplistic notions of that diversity actually in differences are a bad thing and be able to look at it through this lens, the irony is that corporations who have many times been vilified for maybe the profit motive, right? And other things, and some of it, you know, may well deserve vilification. But if you turn it around, you know, the products and services of corporations have made us have a longer lifestyle, right? And have greater comforts and what we call them luxuries or greater ability to learn new things and have new experiences and enjoy life more fully, as well as meet basic needs. And if we can then take the lessons learned of innovation inside the corporate walls, that's all, everything that we talked about is available to us outside the corporate walls to not only create, as in the corporation, greater products and services, but outside the corporate walls, those that same mix and making the mix work can be in the service of creating innovation that is societal to address the deeply seated challenges that we have, whether they call it global warming, right, or globalization or migration that leads to really legitimate challenges. But what if we leverage the diversity to then lead to the innovative way of thinking to address those very difficult problems, but not in a way that is polarizing, but in a way that is unifying and that it benefits all of us in a win-win situation.
Wow, what a beautiful way to end. We're coming to the close of the conversation on this. That was beautiful. I love how you said how, you know, whilst over the many years we've vilified these large corporates, is how do we use the lessons learned from corporate and move them to society? And like you talked about the mix, how do you make that mix work to make a positive impact to our world? So that was a wonderful conversation. That brings us to the end now. Before I thank you, is there anything else that you'd like to add for our listeners? Anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I think that hopefully in this conversation, we can have had a dialogue and an exposure to some thinking that allows us to elevate what often is, we have to have this conversation about diversity and inclusion in sort of in a reluctant way, or as if we are being punished, you know, or we have to eat our spinach, if you will, for those of us who don't like spinach that much. And not to denigrate anyone who does, right? But to really move it into something that is uplifting, and it's about transformation, and it's about rising to our better selves. And I think that diversity and inclusion is one of the most dynamic, thrilling, vibrant things around us. And if any listeners that really enjoy the diversity of nature and the power of that, well, we're talking about the diversity of people. And it's not just about people who look different, but it's the people who think and behave differently. And it's then moving to a place of saying, not only am I sensitive to your differences, and not only do I'm tolerant of your differences, but it's more about I need your differences and you need mine.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Andres. Really appreciate the time and the interview. Muchas gracias. I know you speak, of course, we're going to have this in Spanish, how awesome this is. But no, really appreciate your time, your insights, and sharing your wisdom. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. All the best to you.
Thanks.
Bye.